Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to welcome you to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. We're excited to be with you today. I know the Lord is going to minister in anticipation for the word of the Lord today. We believe there is going to be a mighty word that comes forth from the presence of God in a great, great way. So thank you for joining us. Let us know where you're joining in from. So good to see Sister Melissa. Bless you. Welcome to the podcast. Blessings, Eric. Thank you for joining us. Jeanette, all the way from Kenya. The Lord bless you, Jeanette. God bless you. God bless the nation of Kenya. Valerie Salinas, thank you for joining us. Greetings to you. Brother Ryan, the Lord bless you, sir. God bless you. Deborah, thank you for being with us. We're praying that God's word would go forth today, uninhibited, undistracted, that God would speak to us in a mighty way, and that he would get glory through everything we're doing. So thank you for being with us. I appreciate you joining the podcast. Brother Jaime, so good to see you. Thank you for being with us, representing Fresno. Sister Cameo, the Lord bless you. Sister Teresa, the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining. We're going to get ready to go straight to the word of God today. We believe that God is going to speak in a mighty way. I'm going to ask you, if you would, again, to grab that device, if you'd grab your phone, if you'd open it, and you do that work of the evangelist, and you would share the podcast, share via YouTube. Make sure you've subscribed, and we want to make sure that we're getting the word out as the word of God goes forth. We believe God is going to minister greatly by his power, by his presence, that he would be glorified in everything that we're doing. So thank you for joining. Thank you for sharing. We believe sharing the good news of the gospel of the kingdom is very vital and very important to do. And we believe as we do that, God is adding grace to our account. Bless you again, Sister Deborah. Brother Gilbert, good to see you. I'm going to get straight to the word of the Lord today. I'm going to ask, we're going to go into a word of prayer. Ask God to open up our ears to hear, hearts to discern, so that he can be glorified in what we share today. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is spirit and life. I just pray according to the presence that every obstacle, every hindrance, every opposition would be broken by the power of your anointing and the anointed one. I ask you to destroy the yoke and remove the burden now. Strengthen the people of God. Encourage us. I pray that, Lord, your presence would rest upon this podcast, that as we come before your presence with thanksgiving, as we go before your courts with praise, we ask you to minister to your people life and wisdom and revelation. I pray signs and wonders would accompany the teaching and preaching of the word, and I ask you to get glory and honor through what we share today. Speak to our hearts, minister to our spirits, that which is good and that which is true and that which is living. Lord, I pray every obstacle, every weariness, every infirmity, every sickness would bow to the power of the blood of Jesus, and that you would get glory and honor through this time together. Speak to our hearts and minister to our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Again, thank you, Eric, from Clarksville, Tennessee. So good to see you. Sister Beatrice from Hesperia, the Lord bless you. Brother Marco, so good to see you, man of God. Sister Lisa, Nina Campos, thank you. We're getting straight to the word of God. Again, our key verse for the podcast is out of Romans chapter number 8. Bless you, Sister Bianca. Verse 21, let me encourage you, everything created was designed to be in the glory of God. Whatever is not in the glory of God is decaying. Bless you, Sister Joemma. Blessing, Sister Joy. Let me remind you again, whatever is in the glory of the Lord is growing in life, in substance, in fervency, in abundance. God bless you, Brother Ray. So good to see you. Sister Brandy Lawson, the Lord bless you and your husband. Good to see you. Let me read Romans 8:21. Here's what the scripture says, that the creature, or because creation itself, will be delivered from the bondage and the slavery of corrupted leadership into the glory that produces freedom, governed by sons and daughters of God. I'll read that again. Because the creation itself, or everything created, everything that's been created by the Creator, which is God, the earth, the moon, the stars, the plants, the animals, the spheres of influence, governmental spheres, educational spheres, religious spheres, business spheres, whatever thing has been created, whatever has matter, has a creation, shall be delivered from the bondage of corrupted leadership into the glorious freedom of right leadership, God's sons and daughters. Now, I'm going to repeat this to you. Everything that exists was made for the glory of God. When man was made, he was designed to live in God's glory. And when man left the glory, man began to die. When creation or the earth itself had the glory retract, creation began to groan and decay. Here is what Habakkuk 2 verse 14, we're going to read it. Habakkuk 2 verse 14, bless you, Sister Anna. Thank you for being with us. It says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the way the waters cover the sea. The earth was made for the glory. When God made the earth, he made the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says he began to fill the earth with his word. And now God put man in a garden, in a paradise, to rule the earth the way God rules the heavens. He was in a training ground. Though God gave him dominion, let's read this, Genesis 1 verse 26. The intention of God, Genesis 1 26 through 28, is that God made man in his image or in his reflection. So God made us to rule. Blessings, Juanita, so good to see you. Thank you for being with us. The design of God, the plan of God, is that God would have a reflection. And that reflection would be made in his similitude to rule the earth the way God rules the heavens. Here, God said, let us make man in our image, reflection, after our similitude. That means we are similar, that we are made to be kings and priests. We're made to rule the earth with our words. When we are in the kingdom, kings live by their words. When you are out of the kingdom, we live by the sweat of our brow. So the Bible says, God said, I'm going to make man to have dominion over the fish of the sea and everything in it. Blessings, Pastor Edie, made us to have dominion over the birds of the air. So the sea should come under our dominion. The heavens should come under our dominion. Over all the earth, everything in the earth and every creeping thing on the earth, the cattle. Verse 27, so God made man in the image of God. He made him male and female. He created them. So male and female is God's image. The word male is the word masculine, and the word female is the word feminine. So God is strong and powerful and protector and leader, but he's also gentle and tender and loving. Male and female is God's reflection. Bless you, Sister Margaret, Sister Violet. Thank you for being with us. Verse 28, and here was the design. This was the original intention of why God made man. He said, God now took the man he made. He blessed him. The man of God, the woman of God has the blessing on them. Man is blessed. Now, they may not always walk in that blessing, but God blessed man. That's why man is on the top of the food chain. Man is not the fastest, the strongest. Man is not the greatest in stature. Elephants are greater. Lions have more strength, more power. But God, cheetahs, and there are so many quicker than us. But what makes us the top of the food chain, because we have the image of God and we have the blessing of God. God blessed man and said to him, be fruitful. This word fruitful is maturation. And the word multiply means duplication. So first mature, then duplicate. I'm cautious, even in myself, of duplication before maturation. Because if I don't mature, I'm gonna pass on my immaturity. I'm gonna pass on my issues. When you lay hands, you don't only get the good out of the man or the woman, you get everything they got. So you gotta be careful what hands you have laid on you. You can have overcome things, and things show back up in, I don't know why we're talking about that, but you can have things that you've overcome in your life start to show back up in your life, because man or woman is a drink offering. And when they pray for you and minister to you, you're drinking of their substance. Psalm says we eat of their integrity. We eat of what they are, not of just their gifting. So we can partake of that. So let me encourage you, maturation before duplication. It's better to wait and be still and go through these things before we duplicate, because if we duplicate a false image, it becomes idolatry. But getting, so fruitfulness is maturation. Multiplication is duplication. I'll say it again. Fruitfulness is maturation. Multiplication is duplication. He said, and then after we multiply, then we can refill the earth. The design was that we refill the earth, have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and bring it under subjection. Subdue means bring it under. So the earth was made to be brought under subjection. It was made and designed. Then Genesis 2, verse 7, we're going to read this, Genesis 2, verse 7. So God gives man the intention. I'm going to make an earth for you to rule the way I rule heaven. I'm going to ask you to bring it under subjection. The earth was made for the glory of God. Then God took the man he made in his image in spirit, then gave that spirit man an earthly body. Genesis 2, 7, God took the spirit man, then gave him an earthly body. But this earthly body was not like the body you and I have. Our body is getting older every day. A little more wrinkled every day, God help us. A little more tired every day. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day, because we are now made of fallen earth. Remember, according to the scripture in Genesis chapter 3, God didn't curse ground. God didn't curse man, he cursed the ground. And man's flesh was made of the ground. Read this here, Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So when God cursed the ground, God cursed the flesh of man. The flesh of man is not blessed. The flesh of man is cursed. He never cursed man, but he cursed the ground. And remember, God took man from the dust of the ground. So before the fall, man was made of redeemed ground, regenerated earth. The earth that Adam lived on in the garden and the earth that he was made of before he died was regenerated earth. He didn't get sick. He didn't get coughs. He didn't get tired. He didn't die. He didn't get older every day. He got younger or newer every day, more like God. So he made him from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Jump down to verse number 15. Then God took the man, verse 15, and put the man that he made and the woman that was in the man in the Garden of Eden. The word garden is the word guarded territory. Genesis 2, I'm going to read this to you again. Genesis 2. So let me, what I'm building is a case for you that everything created was made for the glory. The earth was made for the glory. You were made for the glory. The sun was made for the glory. It is longing for this manifested presence of God. We are churchgoers. We are worshipers. But our church experience, our worship, should lead us closer to the glory every time we come together, not further. We should not be satisfied with just our liturgical worship for the sake of where we worship, we did our duty. We should have a hunger and a thirst for the glory of God. We should be seeking, because you were made for the glory. You were not meant to die. You were not made to be sick. You were not made to be broke. You were not made to be depressed. You were not made to be confused. You don't even know how to be broke. It's against the nature. You were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, to be in the glory and to live forever and to rule in his image and his likeness. You're not made for this for death and poverty and sickness. God took the man, the Lord, verse 15, took the man, the woman was in the man at this time, and placed him in the word garden. Now, the word garden is the word gan, G-A-N in Hebrew. It is the word garden, enclosed territory. You can translate it, he placed him in a kingdom, a walled territory, an enclosed encampment. Enclosed garden, right? And enclosed, a fenced place in a garden, in a kingdom, right? And he put them there to dress the garden. Now, it doesn't mean to wear it. It means to serve, to minister to it, but also to steward it, to rule it. See, man was made for paradise. The word garden is the word kingdom, and the word aden is the Hebrew word pleasure. Now, that word is scary to Christians, and we got to watch it. The word pleasure is not always sinful. It means opulence. It is the word aden, pleasure, a habitation, spot, place, the finest, luxury. The root word is aden, is aden. It's luxury, the finest, the delight of God. You were made for the glory. You were made for God's opulence. I know that sounds weird. You got good taste because you're a son or daughter of a king. You were with God before. You walked in streets of gold. You lived amongst walls of jasper. You didn't know death. You didn't know sickness. You were with God before. Remember Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before you were in the womb of your mama, I knew you, but you also knew God. Ephesians says, you were chosen in God before the earth was ever founded. Romans 8:29 says, he foreknew you and he predestined you to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he would be the first among many. So again, you were made for the garden. Go back to 15. God took the man and put him in the glory. And the glory is God's best, his power, his radiance, his limitless substance, his finest. It's like the glory that Solomon built. He built a temple. And this temple was so glorious that the Queen of Sheba came into this place. And when she saw what God had led the man of God to build, it was so glorious. The Bible says her spirit left her. I believe she got delivered just by seeing the glory, seeing the tapestry, seeing seeing the finest that can be created with man's hand. But it was not designed by the pattern of a man. It was designed by the pattern of God. It was a reflection in the earth of what heaven should look like and does look like. Man was made for the God. God took the man and put him in the best. He put the man and the woman in the kingdom. This is why Luke verse 16, verse 16. Here is what Luke 16, verse 16 says, that all men are looking for the kingdom. Actually, go back to, if you would, Genesis 23 and 24, the Bible, actually Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. So there were two trees in the garden. You can go back to where we just were. I told you to jump to Genesis 3:23, but I'm gonna ask them to go back Genesis 2:15 and 16 and 17. So back to Genesis 2:15. We're jumping around. We'll get you right where you need to be. Genesis 2 verse 15. Here is the scripture. God put man in the glory garden. Was there sickness in the garden? No, sir. Was there death in the garden? No, sir. Was there poverty in the garden? No, sir. Was there a graveyard in the garden? No, sir. It was just like heaven. And the job of the garden was to come into the earth, thy kingdom come, that you would extend the garden through the whole earth through right dominion and right administrative government, through right leadership. And so the Bible says God put the man in the garden. I'm going to repeat to you again, you were made for the glory. You're not made to be broke. You're not made to be sick. You're not made to be depressed. You're not made to be in pain in your body. It is unnatural. You're not made to die. There will be a generation that do not see death, the Bible says. One generation that go from glory to the highest level of glory, and the Buddhists call it enlightenment, but you can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through Muhammad. You can't get there through Scientology or witchcraft. You can't get there through incantations and divinations. The only way you can get there is through the name of Jesus. The only way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. Bless you, Sister Nikki. The Bible says he took the man, placed him in the garden to steward the garden, to rule the garden, to minister authority over the garden. You listening? Verse 16, then God said to the man, now God gives dominion, but he always gives parameters. God will always give you a parameter to your authority, a clause, he put all the trees. You can eat of all these trees, but I got a tithe tree. This one is mine. Don't you touch it, because when you touch it, you will die. God always puts parameters to your dominion. You know, just because you're in authority doesn't mean you don't answer to anybody. That's not the case. The more authority you have, the more responsible you are. Verse 16, the Lord commanded the man. He didn't suggest to the man. Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So now God says there's two trees in the garden that are named in the middle. One, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The other is the tree of life. They're both in the middle of the garden. They are not attracted for some reason to the tree of life. But the Bible says, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, jump over there, Genesis 3. The Bible says, actually go back to verse 6, and the woman saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good and pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired for wisdom. It was a wisdom tree. But the problem with this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was information outside of God's way. The knowledge of good and evil is now they knew good apart from God, and they knew evil apart from God. Now they had their own opinion. One word in the New Testament for glory is the word doxa. And glory is the weight of God, the power of God, it is all of that God is, all of that God has. It's his fullness, it's his manifested presence in places, people, and on things. It's God's glory on places, on people, and on things. The glory would come on men, it would come in atmospheres, but it would also settle on objects. The ark was an object. You say, where is that in the Bible? The ark was an object. The rod of Moses was an object that was endued. The sword of Gideon was an object. The handkerchief of Paul was an object that got full of the presence and glory of God. So the glory comes on people, it comes on places, and it can manifest on things. It is transferable and it is tangible. That's God's anointing, but that's also the glory of God. Are you tracking with me? So now they ate of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But one of the greatest, I believe, definitions of the New Testament word for glory, doxa, is the word opinion. It's God's opinion. Now they have an opinion outside of authority. I was praying about this. The Bible says one of the jobs, and I'm going to try to say it as nicely as I can, as nicely as I can. The Bible says, according to 2 Corinthians, see, now they've eaten of information. Now they have their own opinion. God is the head. Say amen. The man of God, Adam, is over the earth. The woman of God is under, and the family is under. This is God's authority. Now, what they've done is they've eaten information they can call good what God calls evil, and they can call evil what God calls. They've got their own opinion. And now you have arguments. I was praying about this and say, what a generation we live in. What a generation that children argue with parents. I mean, what if they're right? It don't matter if you're right. You don't argue with authority. What a generation that members argue with pastors and leaders argue with senior leaders. Well, I think I'm right. Doesn't matter if you're right. You are under authority. God backs up authority. Now, there's a difference between sin, but opinion is now I've got my own opinion outside of the authority of God. And now I argue. What is an argument? It's somebody going back and forth. Now, what is an argument? 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 4, 5, and 6. Let's read that. This is where they got in trouble. And I'm trying to say it nice. I'm not trying to get an attitude, but I was praying about this and I was hearing the word of God. God said, here is what 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Talking about spiritual weaponry. You have spiritual weaponry. You've got weapons against the devil. You are not weaponless. You are not helpless. When the devil comes in to attack your mind and attack your children, you don't have to just sit there and take it. But here is how God works. There are two words for power in the Bible. Number one, one of them, according to the New Testament, two main words. There's multiple, but the two main words in the New Testament, number one is dunamis, which is dynamite, dynamic, explosive power. And the second word is the word exousia, which is delegated authority. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And the measure of your delegated authority that you operate in is determined by the measure of delegated authority you're under. I'm going to repeat this. I've been praying about this. I've been seeking God with some of the things that God were telling me just recently on the mountaintop, that delegated authority is the key to having demons leave when you say it. I'm not just talking about, you know, thrash somebody. I'm talking about genuine healing and deliverance. Bodies being healed, minds being set free, oceans opening up, the dead being raised, demons being cast, delegated authority. God is a God of authority. And keep reading here. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they're mighty through God. They're mighty through the Spirit to pull down what? Strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's a fortified encampment in the mind and in the spirit. It is a way of, it'll explain in just a moment. It's a way of thinking that produces a manifestation and believing in the life of that man or woman. It's a fortified way of thinking. It's a fortress in their thinking and their believing that creates a stronghold in the actual physical body. So a stronghold is not just something that visits you once. It's something the enemy has a stronghold on that man or that woman. Are you hearing me? And by the Spirit, we can do what? Pull the stronghold down. Amen? We agree there. Verse number 5, casting down. Now, this word imagination is the Greek word for arguments. Arguments. We've seen it. You can look it up. Different translations give you the word arguments. What is an argument? It is two people differing in opinion, and now they are contending. And now they don't agree. So what? I've got my opinion, praise God. You've got your opinion, praise God. And as people in the same sphere or category, there can be an argument. My son and my daughter can argue because they're at the same measure. But my son or daughter should never argue with my wife. I said never. Well, what if mama's wrong? It's called authority. And what we've done is we've argued, we don't agree, we think we know better, and now when we do this, we step out of delegated authority. Now, Adam can argue with God. No, I like this. When should Adam argue with God? When should Adam say, look, God, you know what? I don't think it's a commandment. I think it's a suggestion. See, the moment he no longer had allegiance to the voice of God and now he had his own opinion, God threw him out of the kingdom and made him a slave to the ground he was meant to rule. Casting down arguments, high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every suggestion, every word. You ever had something come in your mind and a suggestion come? And you knew it wasn't God, what do? You pull it down. You cast it out, right? If it's sin, you pull it down. If it's lust, pull it down. If it's anger, pull it down. If it's hatred, but what about rebellion? That's a sly one. Well, they ain't doing what they should be doing and now we begin to reason within ourselves and God says you're now working against your delegated authority. So if you're working against your delegated authority, you no longer have your authority. You're losing your authority. Delegated authority is, I've given authority, I've delegated. So who was God's delegated authority in the garden? Adam. God picked the man, said, you're in charge. So the woman grabbed the fruit, she ate it, nothing happened until the man ate. When the man ate it, go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, let's read that there. The woman saw the tree, it was an information. I don't know what we're talking, the reason we're talking about this, because there's gonna be an increase of the miraculous. I feel it strong. An increase of eyes opening, an increase of deaf ears being unstopped, an increase of people coming out of wheelchairs, bless you, Sarah, an increase, bless you, love to worship, Sister Leo. There's gonna be an increase of even hearts being, I'm talking about infallible proofs. Not just the headache being healed. And I'm all for a headache. If you got a headache, praise God. And it's healed, it's a big thing. But I'm not talking about a headache or a little backache. I'm talking about the hand of God confirming men and women of God. And I was listening to some generals in the faith. The key to their authority was delegated authority. that God delegated to them authority, and they didn't come in their name. I'm coming in another name. I'm coming in See, here is how it works. Jesus said, he told the disciples, if they receive you, they receive me. If they receive me, they receive him that sent me. They didn't say, disciples, if you receive you, they receive God. That ain't how it works. It's called delegated. If they receive you, they receive me. They receive me. It's called delegated authority. Jesus had the authority. He delegated to the disciples. But he said, but if they reject you, they reject me. And they reject me, they reject him that sent me. This is called delegated authority. And the moment there's a break in delegated authority, there's a retraction of dominion. Go back to verse 6. The woman saw the tree was good for food, a pleasant to the eyes, a tree for wisdom. She took the fruit and she ate it. Nothing happened. Wonder why? She wasn't in authority. Doesn't mean she didn't have power or right to choose. The authority was the husband, the man. The Bible says, then he gave to her husband and then he ate. We don't know how long it was between when she ate and he ate. All we know is she ate, none happened. Then the head ate, and immediately, verse 7 says, immediately, I'm talking to somebody who is wondering how to get the power of God in your life, delegated authority, how to promote to your next season, delegated authority, how come my kids don't want to listen to what I got to say, delegated authority? How come they don't want to hear anything I got to say? How are you with your delegated authority? Because the measure that you meet will be meted to you. The honor you're giving will be honored to you. And it's a matter of time. If you get this correct, it will come. Whatever you're under is the key to what's under you. I ain't under nobody, then God help you. You're God's Holy Ghost wonder. But there's something called and the eyes of them were both open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. Now shame just came in. The knowledge of evil just came in and contaminated their thinking. Verse number 8. Now the Bible says, when they heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. Again, they heard the sound voice of the Lord, the capital Lord, walking. The word walking is preceding. And the word cool is ruach. Ruach, the wind. They heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, just like Acts chapter 2. So they had a daily encounter in the glory, like Acts chapter 2. And Adam and his wife ran from the presence. Now that they are running from the presence of God, now they are running from the glory of God, they are now going to be a slave to what they should rule. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. Now God says, because you obeyed this voice, because you did this, the ground is cursed. The Bible says that God cursed the ground. He never cursed man. Actually, before we read 23, he said, verse 17, and to Adam, he said, because you hearkened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat, cursed is the ground for your sake. God cursed the ground. What is man's flesh made of? Ground. You got it? His flesh is, now man is dying now. He's decaying now. He's not living forever. Now, the day you eat. Now, Adam, no one made it more than 1,000 years. Remember, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. They never live past that day. The day you eat, you die. You will never live more than 1,000 years under the curse of Adam, ever. But there will be a new generation who come under the second Adam that learn to live eternally. And they break these curses. He said to them, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife and eat it which I commanded, saying, thou shalt not eat. Curse is the ground for your sake. See, what does the king need to be a kingdom? A kingdom. What does the king need to be a king? A kingdom. He needs ground to recognize his kingly dominion. If you put a king in his kingdom, he speaks and it comes to pass. You remove a king from his kingdom, he speaks and nothing happens. Now, Adam just lost the kingdom. He just lost the domain that he was meant to rule. The glory makes rulers. It makes heads. And we're wondering why the glory is retracted, because we've got to understand the power of delegated authority. The authority I have, the authority I walk in, is subject to the authority I'm under. got to hear me by the Spirit. This works in marriage. This works in ministry. This works in children. This works in business. The authority I can walk in is determined by the authority that God placed me under. He said, because you've eaten, now you live in sorrow. Verse number 18, and he said, thorns and thistles, the earth will bring forth for you. So instead of the earth bringing forth fruit by his words, it's now bringing forth the curse of thorns. And a sign of the curse is thorns by the Spirit. And the scriptures, in the sweat of thy face, 19, you will eat till you return to the ground, from dust thou wast taken, and dust you will return. Now God curses the ground. Now he's a slave to the ground. Jump down to verse number 23. The Lord now sends him out of the Garden of Eden. Where's the garden? The kingdom. The kingdom for a king. Adam is a king. Now he's leaving his kingdom to be a slave. In order to eat now, he got to work. He got to work. And listen, you shouldn't be afraid to work. You shouldn't be afraid. I'm afraid to work. No, don't you be afraid to work. But work is not your ultimate goal. You're made to live by your words. And that's what some of the issue is. We're stuck in this paradox that we know we're made to live by the word of God. How do we do this? How do we overcome this? We've got to be responsible. We've got to help in what we need to. But your ultimate goal isn't to live by the sweat of your brow. That's why Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head, to symbolize the breaking of the curse when you renew the mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Romans 12 verse 2, be not conformed. We're going back to Genesis in a minute, but be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Taking the crown of thorns off, because he put the crown of thorns on him, you take that thorn off, now you put the crown of righteousness on. The crown of authority, the crown of dominion, the crown of identity, but also the crown of submission. Because God won't give you a crown unless you can take it off and put it back at the feet of your, number one, your king, and two, a delegated authority. We don't get crowns so we don't need nobody. We don't get money so we say, we don't need to be submitted to. When in life will you ever not be submitted to somebody? That's the problem. These leaders in the previous generation, they couldn't wait to get blessed. And the first thing they did when they got blessed, they divorced their wife because they don't want to be subject to nobody. They made the money now, and I divorced my leaders, I divorced my wife, I break all my covenants because it was in my heart the whole time not to be submitted. I didn't want to submit. That's what the whole issue is about, submission. It's not about, I don't trust you, and I'm afraid. No, you don't want to submit yourself because you're in fear, you're in anger, whatever the issue is. And I'm not trying to be hard. I'm trying to tell you it's time for you to grab your crown. It's time for you to get your scepter of righteousness. And the measure you can be delegated authority is the measure you are under authority. God examines these things. We may not. We may just try to brush it on over. But here is what the scripture says. So the renewing of the mind brings you transformation. Bless you, Edna. Bless you, Mary. Bless you, sister. Thank you for being with us. By the Spirit, go back to Genesis 3:23. And the Lord, Bible, sent them out of the garden to work the ground as a slave. To work, so why? So they would repent. So they turn back to God. So say, look, I messed up. Forgive me. I don't see anything there of Adam saying, as the Lord, forgive me. And maybe he didn't know he could plead the blood. The blood was slain before the foundation of the earth. God slew some animal and put skin on them. They were pure spirit beings before they had skin. And he put skin on them, put animals on them, animal skins. We think, well, they just put a hide over them. Well, praise the Lord. He didn't even know he could call on God and get repentance. Didn't even know that even existed. So he ran from the presence of God. And this is what happens. There's a distance. When Adam, the Bible says, when Peter was watching Jesus, he began to watch him from afar. Distance is not healthy in any aspect. For kingdom relationships, kingdom assignments, and kingdom covenants. Fathers should not be distant to sons. Sons should not be distant to fathers. The circumcision knife is to cut away flesh. The job of a father is to cut away the flesh. The problem is, if there's distance, when you try to cut flesh, it feels like a javelin. I heard this. An apostle said it. Very good concept. If you're trying to circumcise someone from a distance, it feels like a javelin because there's no proximity. So everything's offensive. Everything's hurtful. But the concept of God, God doesn't change what he delegated. And if God delegated you, Paul, you can't run to Peter. And if God delegated you, John, you can't run over to Timothy's ministry. And if God delegated you, the kingdom don't work that way. In the church, you can do what you want, when you want, go where you want. I don't feel like it. I don't want it. No, but in the kingdom, God set you. And God doesn't change his mind. That's why power, authority, and true dominion is so very few and far between. Verse 24, so he drove out the man from the kingdom and put at the east of the garden of abundance and delight and pleasure, godly pleasure, not wicked pleasure, godly life, joy unspeakable, cherubims, guardian angels with a flaming sword, the word that consumes our flesh. And it turned every way to keep the way open of the tree of life. The only way back in is through the word of God. So go back to Luke 16, verse 16. So every man and every woman is looking for a kingdom. Every man and every woman needs and feels and desires to be a kingdom man. A kingdom, what does that mean? The law and the prophets were until now. Bless you, Alma. Good to see you. Bless you, Sarah. The law and the prophets were until John. Until John came, it was a different dispensation. Then when John came, things shifted. Since that time, the kingdom is preached. They're preaching a kingdom message. This is what Jesus preached. This is what John set up. And this is what we should be preaching. Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom, Matthew 4, 17 through 19. Everywhere he preaches, but stay there. The kingdom is preached, and every man wants the kingdom. Bless you, Crystal. So good to see you. Every woman wants, if the atheist wants the kingdom, the Satanist wants the kingdom. They're a king looking for their kingdom. They're lost. You see, I've said it before. I've got to hurry through this, but I've used this multiple times. The reason, the reason nations have border checks, and they actually will rate the nation of the passport. And if you have a strong passport, they let you in easy. But if their nation is stronger than the other nation that issued the passport, they make it very difficult. Not because they don't want you to visit, they don't want you to stay. So for instance, America, it has a strong passport. Very strong. So if you got an American passport, you can go to a lot of nations and you don't need a visa. You don't need a background check. You just show it. You're in and you're out. And so I would travel with some people and travel, and they didn't have an American passport. They had a Mexican passport. Now, again, culturally, my background is Mexican, though I was born in America. And they had a Mexican passport. They had to go to another line, and they had to wait 2 hours, 3 hours to get through what I was in 15 minutes. Why? Because they had a Mexican passport. Now, I'm not against Mexico. But their nation was considered weaker. So going into the UK, they didn't want them to illegally stay in the country. So they examine them harder. Because why? Even the earth knows a kingdom needs a better country, or a king wants a better kingdom. So they examine you hard. And this is why normally there's a border there. They're still there. We've got America, and then the south of us in California, we've got Mexico. TJ is the border town there. And usually this craziness with border stuff happening, the devil is lying. I'm not going to get into that. That's not of God. The enemy's trying to destroy our country for a plan, but I'm not getting into that. But I'm telling you, when you're coming back from Mexico, they screen you. You wait in line. It's easy to get to Mexico. You drive right over, but coming back, it takes hours. Some people can take 10 to 12 hours waiting to cross over to come back from Mexico because they're screening. Why? Because everyone wants to leave a weaker kingdom for a stronger kingdom. What is a stronger kingdom? Better economy, better health care, better opportunity to earn wealth, better safety, better leadership. And they recognize it. So the people trying to get into America to have a better land. Now, there is a kingdom that's better than America, where there is no sickness, there is no death, where man lives forever. They've got a great retirement plan. You live eternally with them. You're not sick. That's the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, he makes his citizens kings. There is no nation on this planet that can ever be like God's kingdom, because no nation can make you a king. This is why he's called King of Kings. That's right, Sister Teresa. God bless you, Brother Ruman. You want the kingdom. Here's what Matthew 6:33 says. Here is our pursuit. We are to seek first the kingdom. All right, we're going to read this. Matthew 6, verse 33. We've read this before. We're to seek primarily kingdom. Seek primarily. Seek priority. Seek first. The word "the" is not there. It's basilia. So what are you seeking? You're a king looking for your kingdom. You. I said you. Because why? You got the king in you. Revelation 5:10, Revelation 1:6-7 says, I made you kings and priests. You're a king. And you're looking for your territory, your place of dominion. Are you listening to me? You know this ain't it. You're on the job so long, and not none mean you don't like working. You just feel it's time. There's more. I should own something. You live in that house. I should own. You feel something pulling you to dominion. Not because you're greedy or you're proud or you're a wretch and you just want more than you can handle. You're made as a king, and kings must rule. Kings must have dominion, but kings and priests. King is a ruler, priest is a servant. You're a servant ruler. That don't make sense, but it's what the Bible calls us. You're a king. Seek the proton, the first kingdom you were in. This word first is the Greek word. The word proton, first time, before, the principle. What was the very first? Not just priority, which it is, but the first kingdom. What was the first kingdom? Man lived forever, eternally in the glory of God. You were a king in a kingdom. You were made for dominion. You were made for rulership. You were made for, and now you're to seek that place you were in God before. And then, number two, you seek the kingdom that you're meant to rule, the area of dominion. And that includes gifting, talent, but also territory, land, resource, region, city, nation. But that also field. What's your field of dominion? What do you do better than anybody else? What are you anointed to do? What are you gifted to? Are you a writer? Are you a singer? Are you a teacher? Are you a business owner? Are you a fashion designer? Do you write songs? Are you a poet? What's inside you? You're hiding. Because kings are creative in nature. They live by dominion. And so it is the kingdom is a place, it's a location, it's a territory, but it's also a sphere of influence. It's a realm of your rulership. You got some in you, you can do better than anybody else because God put that gift in you. It's not you, it's your gift. You may be an administrator, you may be operations. Whatever your gift is, once you start to work the gift God gave you, you don't have any rivals. And then resource comes when you find your gift. Are you hearing me? The Bible says seek the kingdom first, the prototype, the proton kingdom that you're made to rule in, but you're also meant to serve as a priest in God's house, but rule in the earth. But then you seek his righteousness, not yours. What does it mean to be righteous? Holy? Yes. This is the Greek word dikaiosune, a broad sense, righteousness, condition. Here's the word. Condition acceptable to God. Remember that. Doctrine, way of thinking, integrity, virtue, purity, rightness, correctness. But what is right? How did God make you? What did he make you to be and what did he make you to do? He made you a king and a priest. So what is Jesus's, it's also function. Function. What is Jesus's function in the kingdom? He's a king. He's called the King of Kings, put that in the comment section, and Lord of Lords, right? King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Think that. He's king over kings. I used to read that and say, well, he's kings over all the kings of the earth. That's not how that thing works. He's the ultimate king, yes, but he becomes a king, and when you make him your king, he will make you a king. And when you make him your lord, owner, he'll make you an owner. This is how he works. He's made you, he is king over kings. And the kingdom of God is so powerful that everyone in the kingdom will become a king if you really get in the kingdom. I'm not talking about church attendance, not talking about going to becoming a member, not talking about getting a ministerial license. If you join, if you are a part of this kingdom, you will become a king, a queen, a ruler, a head. I'm just about done. This is your intention. So you must seek the righteousness of a king. You got to learn to talk like a king and walk like a king. You see, the Bible says when God got ready to raise up Israel out of Egypt, he looked for a king. He needed a covenant man. So here's what God did. God found a Hebrew boy. Actually found the mama, spoke to the mama. The devil was trying to kill the deliverers in Moses' day. So the mama put the baby on the basket. And would you put your baby on the basket? Most of us wouldn't put the baby on the basket. We hold the baby till the enemy came and took our baby. But the safest place for you and your children, you let the baby go. You put the bread on the water. When you put your baby on the water, God will return them back to you. But whatever you hold on to, you will lose. I'm not saying this harshly. He told me this about my sons, my daughters, my kids. Whatever I hold like this and I don't put on the altar, I'm going to lose. But whatever I put on the water, God will bring it on back to me. And the Bible says the decree came to kill all these kids, all these boys. The mother of Moses, the Bible says, was given a conviction not to kill her son. Something was special about this boy. And they were killing the babies in the river. The Bible says she decided to put her baby in a basket and send the baby down the river. And God protected the child. Whatever you lose comes, whatever you lay down comes back to you. And the Bible says the daughter of the Pharaoh found the baby and loved the baby. But in that time, they didn't have no Similac. They didn't have, you couldn't buy no powdered milk, right? You had to find a woman who was a wet nurse who had milk. So they didn't have anything like that. They had to find somebody who had been with child. So it so happened the daughter or the sister of Moses went and arranged it, and God gave the baby back to the mama when she put the baby on the water. Here we are holding it, trying to hold on to this. You put your baby on the water, it can be 50 or 30. God will give him back to you. You put him on the altar, he'll give him back to you. God never tried to kill Isaac. But here's what we won't do. Sometimes we won't obey God, because we're afraid to lose our baby, our son, our daughter. And the safest place for your kid is on the altar. He never wanted to take Isaac. He wanted the heart of Abraham. He never wanted to take away Moses. So God gives the baby back to the mother of Moses for 2 years, the formative years, until his teeth are developed. And he's raised a Hebrew. You listening to me? And then for 38 more years, he's raised a prince. He learns to talk like a king. He learns to think like a king. He learns to deliberate like a king. He learns to walk like a king. He learns to decree like a king. He's trained as a prince of Egypt. Then God sets a plan to kick him out of the king's palace. And now God picks a Hebrew that thinks like a king to lead the nation. You got to think like a king. I'm just a slave. I'm just no good. Stop it. I'm a wretched. No. You're a son and daughter of the king. You're made for rulership. You got to be humble, not be proud. See, sometimes people will boast about stuff. I'm this, I'm that. And you can hear the insecurity in that. But you got to be humble, but know who you are. I said humble, subject, settled in your heart. Just settled in. See, when you get settled in your heart, you can hear the sound of their words. You can feel it. They're mature. They're settled. You can hear when somebody's not settled in their heart. They can smile all you want and praise the Lord, but inside you can see it's not settled. And until that happens, promotion can't come. Promotion, not from the Lord anyway. The Bible says, I want to raise you up. And so God is looking for kings. When God went to go get a leader in the time of Moses, I need a king. You've got to think like a king and talk like a king and just settle. Let me make it clear to you. God loves you. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You're a king. You're a ruler. You're a priest. You're mighty. And every voice that tells you you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not beautiful enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not young, you're too old and you're too young and you're too tall, you're too black, you're too white, you're too brown, you're too polka dot. That voice is a liar to undermine the belief. You got to know this is done in your heart. God picked you. He didn't lie to you. God chose you. But you must believe to see the thing that God has called you to walk out. Kings and priests. Let me read this to you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. I'm going to read this to you, and we're going to go. We're going to pray. God has made us. What is God making? You know, the Bible says we're his workmanship. You ever seen a carpenter? Jesus is still a carpenter. He's still forming stuff. He's still shaping. Carpenters usually work with wood, and not just wood, mainly wood, but other materials. They're shapers. They're like potters. God said, I'm the potter and you're the clay. Let me mold you. No, I'm not. You are. When God came to Esther, said, Esther, you're going to go in and you're going to save your people. She was like, who, me? I don't feel like Esther. I feel like Hadassah. I feel like a rejected little girl inside. You know what, Gideon, you're going to be a mighty man of valor. You know what? Where are God's miracles? I'm nobody. Gideon said in Judges 6. Bible says he went to Saul and said, Saul, you're a king. And he said, I'm just a Benjamite. Who am I? Moses, you're a deliverer. But I can't talk good. No. See, here is the problem. God wants to show you who you are so you can accept it and trust it. And when you trust it, it'll come to pass. I'm making kings. He's building a king. That's right, Brandy. Sister Brandy, he's molding us into kings and into priests. He's shaping us. He's forming a king. I can't. You can. You are. You will. You already have. But he's also making us priests, which are servants in the house of God. Your priestly ministry unlocks your kingdom rulership. Your priestly, all of us are priests and kings. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. We are chosen. We are appointed. You are a chosen generation and a kingly, this word royal is kingly priesthood. Every believer, and that one of the greatest fallacies and doctrinal errors is to say, well, there's only just ministers and everyone else. Everyone in the kingdom, when they accept Jesus, is now a priest. They have a function in God's house somewhere. Not me, yes, you. Now, I ain't going into God's house. Those people are crazy. Well, you'll never unlock your ministry, so you'll never unlock your kingly authority. You have to, well, it's hard. I have to deal with this, and there's people, and there's leaders, and then there's peers, and then there's people under me. There's people who hurt me under me. There's people who hurt me next to me. There's people who hurt me over me. It's like family. And in order for you to go forward, God is trying to build a family. He's trying to build a nation and a kingdom. A house is a family. I want a house of prayer, a family of prayer for all nations. But the challenge is all of us have traumas in our families. Hurts from our parents, hurts from our siblings, hurts from our kids. So it's easier to distance ourselves from the family of God. And we say, we're going to love you, God, because you'll never hurt me. We're going to love you and let you in because you'll never treat me wrong. But he said, if you love me, Peter, you better go and feed my lambs. Let me tell you again, Peter. Number two, if you love me, Peter, go and feed my lambs. Number two, okay, now if you love me, feed my sheep. Twice he called them lambs because lambs are babies. Lambs are immature. Lambs aren't potty trained. Lambs, you don't know how to walk right. And you grow them as you grow. Do you love me? Then you love what God loves. And God loves the church. People don't like the church. God loves the church. He loves the church. He loves this broken bride, but he's going to have a bride without spot, without wrinkle, and you're going to be a part of the glory of the Lord. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 tells us, they're going to put that up, 6 and 7. Revelation 1 verse 6 and 7 says, by the word, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto Jesus and the Father. To him be glory, dominion, and power. Go back to verse number 5. And he washed us, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, not the only, the prince of the kings of the earth. Underline that little line, man. If you could underline the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the chief of the kings. You really want to hang with him, he's going to make you a king. You can't hang with him and not have him make you a king. I said, you can't hang with God. He's the Prince of Kings. He's the chief over kings. He's King of Kings. And if you stay with him long enough, he'll make you a king that doesn't mind serving. Unto him that loved us and then washed us. First of all, he forgives you, then he washes you. He gets this stuff out of us so that we can rule with him. I'm going to pray with you. You're listening to me. We're going to read Romans 8:21. The Bible says the earth and all of creation is waiting to be delivered from these corrupted leaders, corrupted governors, presidents, prime ministers, senators. Not all of them are, but there's so many corrupted. Not everyone in business is corrupted, but there are so many that are. There's a remnant that aren't, not even in the church. So many of them, I was talking with a prophet yesterday. Such corruption in the church, such perversion. Now, we don't hate the people. We don't accept it. We bring them to repentance. You got to have compassion, but you cannot tolerate this sin. You got to deal with it in the high places. But God said, I'm going to clean up my house, and then I'm going to clean up the nations of the world. He said, the creation itself will be delivered, set free from the bondage slavery of corrupted leadership into the glorious freedom. The earth, the creation, you were made for the glory. I'm going to pray with you. That's what you long for, sir. That's what you long for, ma'am. That's what you long for, man of God, woman of God. You're on the line. You long for the glory. You long to be in the glory of the Lord. Now, glory has a meaning. Glory is not just an atmosphere that we get to go in and then come out and then live our normal lives. Glory is transformative. Glory is, it brings radical order. What was up that was not healthy comes down. And what was down that was healthy comes up. He said that when glory manifests, I bring mountains low, valleys high. I just bring order. Now, it's not to destroy, it's to correct. I make crooked ways straight, and I make rough places smooth. That's what glory does. It brings divine order. It brings, and there's no questioning in it. It's not I want it, it's what does God want? That's called the glory of God. It brings order. It changes. When the glory of God would show up on the lives of two men of God, two witnesses, they would turn the cities right side up. They said they turned it upside down. They turned it right. Two would go into a city in the glory and turn the city back upside, right side up. That's what the glory does. I'm going to pray with you. Lord, I pray over this man. I pray over this woman. There is much here. God, I heard you loudly on the mountain speak delegated authority. The next measure of power and dominion comes in delegated authority. We are your delegates. We are your kingdom men and women who are walking in authority. Pray with me now. Open your mouth. God, I pray over these men. I pray over myself. I pray that you would strengthen us now, that we would live as men and women that realize we were made for the glory of God. Let me say this to you. Your children, bless you, Priscilla, you were not made to die. Your children were not made to be sick. They were not made to be lost. I need you to pray with me. Let me encourage you. Close your eyes. Your Bible says every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Pray. If you can, start to pray. If you can start to pray, I need you to pray a moment. There is a release. There is a release. God wants to heal. Pray with me now. Pray with me now. Open your mouth. Pray now, pray. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. your family member will bow their knee. I'll say it again. Your family member will bow their knee. You say it doesn't look like it. It will. It'll happen. I'm going to say this again to you. Your family member will bow their knee. Now, if you bow your knee, God will deal with them separately. Pray. I don't want to submit. I don't want to yield. I don't want to. You surrender. Pray now. Your household will be saved. The promise of God is that you and your house will be saved. You and your act says that you, close your eyes, and your house will be saved. If you surrender to the Lord with all of your heart, He promises you to save your family. But apostle, pastor, you know what? These kids, this husband, this wife, this brother, this aunt, they're so rebellious, their heart is hard. You know what God does? God can turn the heart of a man like that. God can turn the life of a woman. You remember when you were hard-hearted? You remember when you were in sin and in alcohol and in drugs? Some of us were in gangs, hardened, and somebody's mama kept praying, somebody's aunt kept praying. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, if you submit, I mean really submit, this is, I hear this very loudly, it's actually about submission. People are afraid to really submit, number one, to God, and number two, to divine authority. And people won't even talk about it because people think it's about somebody trying to misuse them. They're just talking because they want to be in charge. I'm telling you, the level of your authority can only come through the level of your submission. It's called delegated authority. I saw it. He said, son, I'm about to release an authority on some sons and daughters that I've never released before. It's called the name that no one knows. I'm about to show them this, but they have to be fearless. They have to be completely surrendered. I said, yes, sir. Let me examine my heart. Pray now. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. This is a predetermined fact. There is no one on the earth that has ever been or ever will be that will not confess that Jesus is Lord. This is the word of God. Now, if you bow, if you kneel now, the Bible says you will reign later. I'll say it again. If you kneel now, if you suffer with him, you will reign later. That's what the scripture says. And because you're in position, God will give you power to make a decree to turn your lost loved ones back to Jesus. Pray now. Don't fear. Pray now, pray. I hear it now. I see kids struggling with their walk with God. I see spouses struggling with their walk with the Lord. I even see some of them addicted to substances. I see one of you on the line. I mean, your husband is so close to death, you can smell it sometimes. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm praying by the Holy Ghost. And you love God. And you're trying to serve God. And there's something in this man of God. He's a man of God. That's pulling him to the darkness over and over. And it's trying to kill him. And he's still here because you didn't stop praying, woman of God. And the Lord wants me to tell you, if you will surrender completely. I said completely. I said completely, ma'am. God will deal with that husband. God will bring him. He said, I don't know. No. Surrender completely. Woman of God, man of God, I will go into your children and bring them. I'm just trying to. You can't bargain with God. You cannot. When he asks you for something, give it to him. And what God wants now is surrenderance. Just this. Doesn't matter who hurt you. Doesn't matter who abused you. And it doesn't mean God doesn't care. It's not a reason to not surrender this to the Lord. He's telling you, sir, ma'am, I want that area of your heart. And if you'll lay it down, I will hold nothing from you. Not only will I heal them, deliver them, save them, touch them. I can feel the anointing. I can see them running to Jesus, worshiping God. I can see God turning the heart of that little boy, that little girl back to Jesus. I can see them coming to you with tears and crying, saying, Mom, Dad, I'm ready to serve Jesus. I'm ready. I can see a relative calling you and coming to you and saying, I'm ready to give it. What do I do next? And here's the problem. If God shows us that and we're not really submitted, we really won't know what to tell them. We can tell them what we think, but it won't keep them. So if God sends that moment before we're really submitted, it won't stay. So I'm praying over my heart, right? I'm praying over my motives, my submission to God, to delegated authority. I'm praying over my view and my perception. I'm asking God, search me, and I'm asking you to do the same. But I'm asking all fear to leave you about who you love. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be worried. Don't you second guess. Every knee will bow. Death can't even stop this thing. He'll pull them out of hell if they didn't know God and they died. He can pull them out of death. Death has been conquered. Even in paradise, it's already empty. So nothing can stop the dominion of God. Nothing can stop the fulfillment of these children being well. I speak life to this woman of God. I speak courage to this man of God. This son and this daughter, this brother, this sister, this nephew, this aunt, this, don't you be afraid for them one more day. Surrender. Complete and total surrender. And as you do, God will move in ways you never thought possible. Strengthen this man, encourage this woman, and we'll be sure to give you all of the praise, all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.